We profess that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Standing up again, arising from the dead. One of the greatest strengths of a prize fighter is not in their ability to punch or to knock their opponent down, but in their ability to they themselves get up when they've been knocked down. It's the story of Rocky, the great story of the movies of Rocky. Rocky keeps pounding and pounding. He gets pounded down, he gets back up. He gets pounded down, he gets back up. It's also one of the beauties of the flowers of the field. The flowers of the field go through droughts, they go through floods, they go through frosts. Animals nip them off. They tend to die in the wintertime, but yet in the spring, new life. New life. Testifying to the beauty of our Creator. And they're standing up again, rising up again, seemingly from the dead as they come to life in the spring. At some point in life, we all come to the end, don't we? We all come to the end of the race. There's one thing that's common to all human beings. We are mortals. We die. We wither, or we fade, as the Bible says. And as we're running this race of life that we've been talking about the last few weeks, in everyone's life, we're running down the track, there are obstacles to overcome. And as we face each obstacle, we know the Lord is right there with us, giving us strength to overcome the obstacles. And the farther we go, hopefully the stronger we become and the more confident not only of our ability, but of the Lord Jesus in helping us get to the finish. But perhaps the most difficult hurdle or the most difficult obstacle to overcome is that one last obstacle, that chasm, that pit that we know as death and the grave. There's only one way to overcome it. Not by our works, not by positive mental attitude, not by anything on this earth, but by God's saving grace in Jesus Christ that gives us all we're needed to overcome the last obstacle, the grave. In his prayer to God, Moses writes in Psalm 90 about death. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, those sons of men. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new. By evening it's dry and it withers," comparing human beings to grass. David writes in Psalm 103 concerning death, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." When Peter, a friend of Jesus, writes about the love of God, he says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." Now what Peter is saying is that through believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth, through the word of God, believers have been purified or born again, but this time we're born imperishable. Seed that cannot die. Seed that goes on and on and on and on and on. In other words, by believing the gospel and receiving Christ and being born again, we might be like the grass or the flowers of the field that wither and die and fall, but believers will stand forever. He's talking about the resurrection here. The resurrection of the believers, the followers of Christ. Now, all human beings will be resurrected from the dead, but they'll be resurrected to their prospective eternal dwelling places. God's children will be resurrected to live with God in His kingdom. And sadly, today in our society, there's a growing misconception that everyone's going to go to heaven when they die. That that's just the way it is. When you die, you go to heaven. Some people believe that we'll not go anywhere. We die, that's the end. I knew a man who believed that way. And it was a very empty feeling to stand by his graveside when we buried him. What do you say about a man who believed that when you die, that's the end, there's nothing, you go nowhere? in light of what we've been learning about in our series here about God's love, the resurrection of God's children is perhaps the greatest display of God's love for His children. Actually, even for creation. Because, you know, we're all God's creation. And God loves His creation, doesn't He? And the resurrection is His greatest display of love because He offers it to everyone. Okay? He offers it. Sadly, not everybody accepts it. But He says, this is the way I'm going to do it, through my Son Jesus. And some people say, no, I don't accept that. Or I think I have a better way. But it's the greatest display of love. And it's a source of comfort as we reach this final hurdle in life, when our time's up and we stand facing the chasm. So you see, if God's love is revealed in Jesus Christ, for all who receive Jesus as Savior, God, in this journey, God's love saves us, we talked about. God's love adopts us as His children. God's love molds us and shapes us as we go along. God's love keeps us protected in His loving arms and keeps us safe. And finally, all this that's been done here on earth is not wasted, because God's love extends so much more beyond earth, beyond time and space, that when we cease to exist, God takes us and resurrects us so that we can be with Him forever. That's the fundamental point of John 3:16. God sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. This is something that no other religion in this world can promise or believes. So, there's no other religion in this world that has this hope, because they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead in the way that we do. The bodily resurrection is found in the example of Jesus Christ, bodily resurrected from the grave Himself. Because we're connected to Christ, we're going to be like Him, raised from the dead in the same way that Jesus was raised. Paul talks about it in his letter to the Romans. He says, "We were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with Him like this in His death, we'll certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection." What he's saying here is that in joining ourselves to Christ, being baptized into the community of faith, receiving Jesus as Savior, that we're connected to Christ in a special way. Okay? That our old self dies, we're born again, imperishable seed, and as Christ was raised from the dead, we will also be raised from the dead. This word resurrection in the Bible means, in the old ancient text, means to waken or to stand up again. To waken or to stand up again. Now, when we're in the grave, and I know there's a lot of debate today on people that are cremated, but to stand up again means to give life to and to rise up. Like the valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel, there they were. First they were the bones, then they were the bones and the tendons and the flesh, but there was no life and they couldn't stand up until life was breathed into them. And God literally reaches down to the depths of the grave and breathes life. And God, who gave Christ life, will give life to your mortal bodies also, Paul says. And though all people will be resurrected, not all will be resurrected to life with God. In the book of Revelation, John says he sees a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. That's the grave. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, if you study Revelation, you find out that Satan, the beast, and the false prophet are going to also be thrown into the lake of fire. And it says they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Every human being will be resurrected. The question is, where are you going to spend those days of eternity? And Jesus Christ, God, said, this is the way that I choose to do it. And the Bible tells us God desires all men to be saved. God's wish is that we would all receive that. He doesn't want us to stumble in the pit and die forever. His love wants you and I to be at His side forever. But that involves overcoming death in the grave. Something that we do not have the power to do humanly. There's nothing on this earth that can overpower the grave. We're dead. We're lifeless. We do not exist anymore. We have no power to overcome death. Something or someone has to reach out and lift us up, stand us up, and empower us. And that someone is God, who, as Paul wrote to the Romans, says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that don't exist. In other words, God reaches, as I said, down into the grave and breathes new life into us and raises us up as new beings. As new beings, the Bible tells us what we will be has not yet been revealed to us, but we know that when we see Christ, we'll be like Him. Resurrected beings. Now, there is a difference here, and I'm going to talk about this a little more next week, in the resurrection and the rapture. We're talking about the resurrection of the dead, resurrected to be with God for all eternity. Without the Word of God, a person can only be optimistic. And the most heartbreaking thing is when I say to someone, when you die, do you know what's going to happen to you? And they say, I hope I'm going to heaven. I say, where do you get that hope from? And then they start with their list. Well, I go to church every Sunday, and I taught Sunday school, and I read my devotions every day, and I'm a good person. I haven't really treated anybody unfairly. And I go on and I say to them, so how can those things help you overcome the grave? What hope can we have in things? You see, when we hope in God, the Word of God gives us His promise. And His promise gives us hope. And the Bible says hope does not disappoint us, because our hope is in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. By His miraculous power, God lifts us up, and His promise is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. That's not just a statement, that's a promise. In the Gospel of John, it's a promise. And Paul told the Romans, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us, how will He not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? So in our text, Jesus' friend Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. Some texts say, in His great love, He's given us new birth. We're reborn. We're born again. We're born again because God loves us. He saves us. And He's given us new birth into a living hope through being born again. Living hope now that we will, like Jesus, be resurrected to God's presence as Jesus was and is. That's our living hope that God's given us because He loves us. Through the resurrection of the dead, resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have this hope. In other words, we know that as Jesus died and was resurrected, was seen resurrected, and seen going into heaven ascending, that's our hope, that God will also raise us from the dead. So we have a living hope, first of all, that no other religion can provide, because we have the proof. Secondly, we have a new birth. We have a new birth into that living hope, but also we have a new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's kept in heaven, shielded by God's power. We have a new birth into an inheritance. Who is it that inherits something? It's usually the family, normally the family, or it can be someone who has a special connection. So, why would God give His best or allow someone who rejects Him, does not love Him, does not receive His plan, His way, why would God allow that person to inherit His best? And the answer is He won't. There's going to be a judgment. If everyone that died just simply goes to heaven, there's no reason for the judgment. In fact, there's no reason for Jesus at all. And our faith is futile. We're wasting our time, as some people think that we are. But He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in His love, He's given us a living hope. He's given us an inheritance promised to us. It's guaranteed, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said to them, you have believed the word of truth, and having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Our inheritance is not based on us, not based on whether we're good or bad little boys and girls. It's based on God's grace. And we're shielded by God. So we have a living hope now. We have a new birth into that inheritance. And we have a glorious finish. Not only will we not die, I want you folks to think about this. Followers of Christ, not only will they not die, they cannot die. They cannot die. Because they're new spiritual people. And God will not let them die because they're shielded. They're imperishable. Instead, when we're faced with that final hurdle, we're running down the track, we've overcome the hurdles of life, we get to a point, at one point or another in our lives, everyone's different, we're faced with the final hurdle, and we literally close our eyes and let go. And God, in His mercy and love, takes us in His loving arms and carries us over to the finish. And understand, folks, the finish line is not in this world. It is not on this earth. It is not in this life. The finish line is the gates of heaven that we often call the pearly gates. That when we get to that point and we're faced with that chasm, that hole in the ground, that ultimate hurdle, we close our eyes and we say, this is where my trust in my Jesus becomes, what did Peter say? May be proved genuine. May be proved genuine. This is where it really takes place. We close our eyes and we say, Jesus, I trust in You. My hope is in You. And we see Jesus Christ reaching His hand out with the Shekinah glory of God behind us to pull us across the finish line. And the choirs of heaven are praising God and shouting hallelujah as Jesus says, welcome home. You are victorious. As the Bible says, where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your power? Death has been swallowed up in victory because God loves us. This is what Paul was pursuing when he wrote to the Philippians. And he said to the Philippians, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, because, you know, Paul said I haven't. Or not that I've already been made perfect, because, as Paul often says, I haven't. But what I do, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul kept pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing because Paul wanted to finish well. And he knew when that last obstacle was in front of him, with hope and with peace because of God's grace, he could close his eyes and know that Jesus would be standing there pulling him across the finish line. Our living hope in Jesus Christ is that no matter how tired we are, no matter how beaten up we are, no matter how scared we are, and I have never sat with anyone on their deathbed that was not even the least bit scared. But I have sat with many people on their deathbeds who were the least bit hopeful, and that's what made all the difference in overcoming that final hurdle. Because when we face that final hurdle by the grace of God, we will finish victorious, and God will stand us up again, because God's love resurrects us. And the Bible promises that in Jesus, as He did with Jesus, He will resurrect us to be with Jesus for eternity. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this hope that you've given us this morning in your word.